The purpose of the Emerging Technology Fund and the announcement from Governor Abbott, how he wants to transition that.
Okay, sure. Well, you know, the Emerging Technology Fund has been a critical tool, certainly as it relates to the Research Valley, the BioCorridor, et cetera. I mean, we've known, you know, with the transition of governors and discussions at, in Austin that, you know, there would be change. I'll defer to our partners in the governor's office on, you know, any policy-related questions or so forth. But I will tell you that, you know, the fund was effectively, you know, established to, number one, help build innovation ecosystems around the state of Texas and to try to facilitate competitive cluster economic development. And so if you look, for example, at the BioCorridor, you know, many of the investments that were made by the Emerging Technology Fund, you know, have directly, you know, benefited the Research Valley, whether it's in the BioCorridor or the Houston Medical Center, how we're interconnected as a state. And so, you know, that's the history of it. As it relates to the community, to the Research Valley Partnership, and our role as a regional center for innovation and commercialization, we've been very fortunate to serve as a regional center now for almost 2 years. The governor's announcement, there's a lot of clarity and unknowns that still have to be answered, et cetera. We've always looked at that as really a blessing. I mean, the fact that we've been able to receive state support to help us build, you know, local innovation infrastructure, regional innovation infrastructure, whether it's through our innovation center, our garage, et cetera, has been very important to that. And so we're very fortunate and thankful for that. You know, the future, we'll have to just, again, work through the process, see what happens at the state level through the legislative process, and then take it from there. Always was, you know, the idea of being nimble. You know, I did see Chancellor Sharp's comment regarding the proposal. You know, I cannot begin to think that such an initiative would not do anything other than help, you know, our market, you know, continue its path to become the Research Valley and bring very positive impact. As I've told you many times, it takes researchers and facilities to do research, and I think this type of effort can continue to really raise the status of our world-class university system. And so, you know, we'll see how it all plays out.
I don't know if this is oversimplification, but if you take away the Emerging Technology Fund and what's ever left in its assets, according to the governor's news release, half of it goes to a new university research initiative. The remaining half goes to the Texas Enterprise Fund. By eliminating one of the programs, does that make it even the possibility of even becoming more nimble to react to requests?
Potentially, you know, that those are details that remain to be, you know, remain to be defined, and then again, that's what the legislative process is all about. It's interesting the way it's been proposed. I mean, I understand that if you look at the current fund balance of the Emerging Technology Fund, it's around approximately $100 million. There's also been some very successful transactions and things that are projected to happen in 2015 related to the Emerging Technology Fund. So you could see sometime by the end of this year, by this, the end of this biennium, a fund balance of the Emerging Technology Fund of around $130 to $150 million. And so if you were to take, you know, some percentage of that, as was proposed, 50% to this governor's research initiative, I mean, that's a pretty... you know, that's a pretty significant amount of money that you could really invest, in, you know, in hopefully tactically in some kind of core, you know, cluster activities to draw that research talent. And the multiplier effect of that's quite significant. As it relates to the Enterprise Fund, I think the big question will just simply be what is different about the Enterprise Fund, maybe, you know, under the new governor with a new legislature and a new legislative mandate. As what historically has been the case, which the historical nature of the Enterprise Fund is to be a very traditional economic development deal closing fund, generally large projects, mature companies, you know, lots of jobs, significant investment. And so what will be interesting to see is how the Enterprise Fund might be modified or tweaked to maybe be a little bit more nimble, as you point out, to maybe be a little bit more tactical in the approach, maybe towards, you know, certain cluster industries, maybe towards different types of projects that have ordinarily not been considered as eligible for the fund under the current law.
What proposals does the RVP have going now that could be affected by this change with the ETF?
Well, as it stands right now, I mean, we're in very good shape. I mean, we've been the beneficiary of base support from the state of $180,000 and an approximate additional $200,000 of state support based on milestone success. And so, you know, we've been very lucky. The vast majority of our initiatives related to milestones for the Regional Center for Innovation and Commercialization for the Research Valley Partnership have been met. And so, you know, we're in a strong position there. And again, it's certainly a matter of perspective, but, you know, I see it as state funding helping to support our investment in the innovation ecosystem and infrastructure of the Research Valley, and we should be thankful for that.
No proposals currently in the pipeline before the RCTC?
Nothing currently in the pipeline that would be negatively impacted is I think, the safe thing to say there.
And how do you and your board then proceed during the legislative process, because recruitment does not stand still while you're waiting on Austin to make its decision?
Well, again, I think we're – so as it relates to the enterprise fund, that which I think maybe was kind of more your question versus the emerging technology fund, we do have active projects. You know, the biennium – is still very much in play. The Enterprise Fund is still very active in terms of considering applications. And so those things are continuing. I thought you were referring more to the Emerging Technology Fund.
Well, I was going to address both of them.
So for the Emerging Technology Fund, I mean, you know, again, I'll defer to the governor. We're not quite sure exactly what that's going to mean in terms of proposals that may be in play. As it relates to the Enterprise Fund, it's still active and open, and certainly, I think that you know, you'll continue to see that as a you know, as a viable consideration during the legislative process. I think you know, certainly, if you are familiar with the Chamber of Commerce's legislative initiative, you know, they'll be in Austin next week, you know, basically presenting their legislative agenda and following up with the legislature, both in the House and the Senate, and they've recognized the importance of these types of tools. I think, again, the question is, going forward in the next biennium after this legislative session, is how are those tools tweaked, how are they different, et cetera, and that's the key, though. But as it relates to the Enterprise Fund itself, you know, that's a situation where the activity there continues.
And the activity regarding the Emergency Technology Fund, does that get on hold now?
Well, that's what we're waiting for clarity on. We're not real sure exactly. The big piece of it would relate to the commercialization deals. And because of the nature of the process with the transition of governors, we've taken an approach of trying to be very candid with interested parties about the commercialization component of the Emerging Technology Fund in terms of the process and the timing and the likelihood of success. And so we've tried to be very cautious in that approach. And so we just have to wait to see on what their position is relative to accepting new applications, pending deals that are in play. We currently have no pending deals in play relative to the Emerging Technology Fund.
But you'd certainly like to be able to make those pitches.
Well, I think that it's a matter of what is realistic. What we don't want to do is to get into a position where, you know, we do a tremendous amount of work in coordination with, you know, a private company or corporation, you know, without having, you know, some level of clarity on, you know, what the position is of the state as our partner. So that's what we're going to have to really be mindful of and try to, you know, to understand better over the coming days exactly what that means. But you know, we're basically, you know, a couple weeks into the legislative session. You know, this is a process. You know, it'll be very interesting to see, as I mentioned earlier, how this might play into some modifications to the enterprise fund. And one of the things that I, at least on a professional level, have championed is we need to have an enterprise fund. I think that changing the enterprise fund to maybe be a bit more nimble, to your choice of words earlier, to be able to work projects that are maybe outside of the current formula is an important thing to consider. And then maybe even think about investments through the enterprise fund in industry cluster sectors. And so think about economic diversification. And so instead of just saying we're just going to arbitrarily, if a company submits an application, regardless of what industry sector they're in, we're going to consider it. And if it meets the, you know, the qualifications, then it's going to be considered. I think maybe one approach might be to look at it, again, more in a tactical way, at kind of economic development clustering, where you maybe say, we're going to have the enterprise fund, but we're going to focus in these kind of competitive cluster areas. Maybe it's, you know, biotech or advanced materials or specialty chemicals or automotive or whatever it is, again, with this idea around economic diversification of our state.
So hang tight and see how the ride takes us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that's the nature of it. The reality, Bill, is that, you know, for many citizens of the state, certainly, you know, those that are, you know, now even freshmen in high school, you know, it's been one governor. The Research Valley Partnership, and certainly my tenure as the president and CEO of the Research Valley Partnership, has been conducted in our evolution and our advancement as an economy has been, you know, under one governor. And so I think, you know, we have to recognize that it's a new era. We need to try to capitalize on opportunities. As I mentioned earlier, the notion of having a governor's research initiative that attracts talent that our university system partners can look to, I can't see where that's, not going to be something that would bring, positive benefit, impacting life, you know, to the Research Valley. I mean, if you look at what Governor Abbott came out and said when he first took office, his number one priority is education, higher education, and a focus on taking, Texas A&M and UT to the next level, being a top 10 research institution in the United States. And, you know, from where I sit as a layperson, to me, when I interpret that as saying, okay, we need to make investments both in terms of capital and also in terms of human, physical investment in infrastructure and investment in human capital in order to be able to do that. And, you know, we're in a unique position where we're the home of one of the world's leading university systems. So I can't see where that wouldn't be a bad thing. And, in fact, what's interesting about that proposal is that one of the key components, as I think you know, of the Emerging Technology Fund is academic superiority, which basically this is, a very strong variation of that approach. Now, again, the devil's in the detail. We'll have to see how it all becomes defined and gets written into law. But I think that certainly a way to advance the research capacity of our major, higher ed institutions in the state of Texas.
Have I missed anything else that listeners need to know about this? Again, it's very early in the process.
No, I appreciate you calling, and I think it's just like you say, it is early in the process, and there'll be a lot of twists and turns. It'll be interesting to see how the process unfolds and where things end up with. Not just this. I mean, we're in a new era, and you have, many new senators and representatives in the House, and it's a new era, and so it's going to be very interesting. And because, as you know, our legislature only meets every 2 years, I mean, there's going to be a lot of busy work and a lot of things that I think will be interesting. The thing that was that I thought saw, in fact, I guess this was maybe 2 days ago, is that at least the base budget that's been presented was consistent between the House and the Senate. That was good, and there were actually some things in there that were positive. For example, there was a bit more money that I understand was put in play for the Texas A&M Health Science Center than was originally budgeted. So I think, and this goes across the board, so I think, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, our chamber partners are going to, you know, be mindful of and be, you know, walking the halls and doing their thing. And, you know, so it's just, it's that, you know, it's that legislative process that'll unfold. And, you know, I'm optimistic. I believe that at the end of the day, you know, we'll have the tools in place, not only for the Research Valley, but for the state of Texas to be competitive in economic development. And when you couple that with, you know, all the other great things that we have going for us, whether it's, you know, cost of doing business or quality of life, what have you, I mean, I think cost of living, you know, I think we're going to be okay.
Just want to build on the momentum that you already have.
Yeah, exactly. That's just it. I mean, it's just a matter of just keeping the momentum. And so, like I say, we'll just have to watch it and just we'll let the process unfold.